TheCoalition.com.
You know we bring it to your live, to your live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to week 22 of Knights of the Turntable. I've got our esteemed guest, Richard Bailey.
Yo, what's up?
Joe Hover.
Kicking the door, waving the 4-4.
I got Luis.
What's up, guys?
I've got AJ.
How you doing?
As you can see, you know, another week, another upgrade. You know, not only are we remaining consistent, we're actually adding stuff to it.
Looking all fancy and whatnot.
Real, real fancy. It's fancy on the screen, but then we got Bud Light.
Hey, well, I mean, we knew. We was getting into it.
It's
all good.
It's cool. We spent all the money on the upgrade, so you're only relegated to Bud Light.
You gotta
drink water. Stay hydrated.
Joe, would you like to let them know what the drinking game is?
The drinking game is actually in honor of the life and death of Notorious B.I.G., which was celebrated yesterday. Anytime we mention a Biggie song on today's podcast, you drink.
Give some examples.
I don't know. You never mind giving no examples.
I just want to drink.
As soon as we get past what we've been listening to, we're going into a whole list of bad
movies. Okay.
All right, so... as tradition has it, let's start off with Richard Bailey and what he's been listening to.
Okay, so obviously, you know, I'm a big B.I.G. fan, so of course I felt the need to listen to some of his music the other day.
Such as what kind of songs? What song titles?
What song? Juicy, Big Papa. Hey. Word. Yeah, you know, their whole Ready to Die album, pretty much.
How many tracks is on there?
I don't know if we can handle all that.
That's too many questions. This is the double disc album, though, but that's too many questions.
Wow.
Too many questions. Some Biggie, some Nas, Joey Badass once again, because, again, I'm waiting for more music to come out. J. Cole. That's pretty much it for now.
Okay. How about you, Joe Hovel?
So, before the podcast started, I was listening to some Maconan just because I felt like I needed to wild out a little bit before we got on the show because I felt like I was tired a little bit earlier. And then yesterday I made this Biggie playlist, and I did it for Essentials, ESSNTLS.com. You can check that out. I curated all of it, just kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. So I listened to like a whole bunch of Biggie yesterday. I haven't even made it through all this entire playlist, but like I got to a lot of like Notorious Thugs and Victory and Kicking the Door and Ten Crack Commandments, and that's what you guys need to drink for.
How would you do that?
So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been listening to.
Okay, I can dig it. AJ?
Oh, last week we were talking about Clean Air and the mixtape.
Can't so I started before.
Yeah, I know. It's a damn shame. But hey, I was listening to Mixtape Messiahs and I made it to number 4 because apparently Mixtape Messiah, the first one, was 3 hours long for no reason. But this too was still my favorite because it's a chop and screw one. That's just me. So I was listening to the Mixtape Messiahs, and I was also thinking, I want to go into Famous. Famous is one of the rappers, he's from San Antonio, blah, 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 long story. But I was listening to Mixtape Messiah, what else? Of course, Dark Sky Paradise, and then, so I was kicking in one of my friends, he had me listening to Late Registration. I had to take it back.
Actually, I give that a spin, like, probably a couple times every month, honestly. Mm-hmm.
I listened to a little bit of that because my roommate wanted me to burn or to give him, I should say, copies of the Kanye albums. so I had to import like Dropout and like Registration on my iTunes because I don't have them on there.
Gotcha. We're gonna put that drinking game in the pocket every time we use air quotes.
Yeah.
All right, Luis.
J. Cole. basically, I've been listening to some younger Young Jeezy, you know, Thug Motivation,
101, The Inspiration. I've been after listening to the Game's first two albums also.
The first two. Why did you listen to the second one?
The second one? Really? A lot of people diss the second one. It's not that bad.
It's pretty good. Second one's like really good.
Without Dre.
Which is the one, the second one? Because I may be forgetting
the third one. No, the third one was Lax, wasn't it? LAX?
No.
The third one was LAX?
Yeah. Doctor's Advocate is number two.
Really? Also been listening to some Lupe Fruit and Liquor, the first one. I need to catch up on the second one. I still haven't listened to that one. And that's a shame.
You've never listened to Fruit and Liquor 2?
Not yet.
That's a topic for the next show. That's going to
be a topic for the next show. And it's funny because I have the disc. I just haven't listened to it. I just haven't gotten around to it. That's been about it, though.
Word? No, there was no coal in there.
There wasn't. No, that's disappointing. No. I'm actually saddened.
Hey.
There was diversifying his bonds.
He doesn't like the predictability.
Well, I've been listening, you know, on and off to Blue Sky.
I mean, Dark Sky.
Dark Sky Paradise. Biggie, we have the 18 songs by Biggie that you have to hear, that everyone should hear, that's on the website. They're listening to that. And, alright, so question for y'all. Have y'all ever, like, listened to an album, like, way back in the day and it was, like, so bad that you revisit it every now and then just to make sure it was as bad as you thought it was?
Yes. Was it true?
Like, just for real. Like, have you ever done that before?
Yes.
I did that with Lasers today.
Oh, you so.
Just to remind myself of how I got robbed. Twice. Because I was just going through the Lupe like playlist, so I listened to parts of the Cool and everything, and Food and Liquor, and some of the scattered songs like Next to It with Ty Dolla $ign. And
I really, really like that song. I was listening to that earlier.
Next to It is fire, and I was like, really, I'm gonna just throw Lasers in here and skip through it and see if there's anything that stands out. Hey. And there was nothing. And it actually felt like it was worse now. Than it was back
so
then.
So that was on Lasers, for real?
What, Next to It?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't on any album.
Oh.
It was promo. Like, it was promo for this album.
Yeah, because I'm definitely, that's a single I want. I got that.
He got a video for it, too.
Yes, dog. They have a video for it. Yeah.
It's cool. Because Unbeaming wasn't on the album either.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I have that single as well.
But, yeah, other than those.
Curse Sleeping.
Black and the Berry. I've been giving that a ton of spins. If somebody made a their own edit of a music video, which it does really good cuts of him and a lot of the civil rights movement and stuff like that, which is really, really good.
Somebody hit me up today and they asked me if I heard this new Kendrick song, and it wasn't that. It was the cover. I was listening on Spotify. The cover art was from Good Kid, Mad City, the deluxe edition, but I had never seen this song title before, and I can't remember it for the life of me.
Was it The Call?
No, it wasn't The Call. It was like City, Court City, something. I can't remember.
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
But the song concept is Kendrick's imaginary friend talking, and then Kendrick starts rapping. It was kind of weird.
Huh. I'm going to have to look that up.
I just want to hear Money Trees right now anyway.
Oh, and the last song that I've been giving a lot of spins is Kanye's All Day, because we have the CDQ of that now. Have y'all listened to it? No? I saw that face.
can I say something about that? Because that song is cool, and then it sounds like a Yeezus song at the end, and then the Paul McCartney whistling bullshit pisses me off every time, because it's like...
I got a feeling we're going to get that bullshit through the whole album.
I know, the song was cool, and then all of a sudden it's just Paul McCartney whistling. I'm just like, what the fuck was that?
How do you get to that point in the studio where you think, hey, you whistle, let's record this? Like, no, who just thinks to just do that shit?
Kanye?
Oh, this is that new level.
Did Kanye think to do that, or did Paul McCartney go in there?
That new level creativity.
Hey, what if that is French Montana's production role?
Wow. That was so out of line.
So I'm going to drink to that just because.
Good point.
On that note, we're going to move on to the next topic, which you might want to get a new beer. Matter of fact, go ahead and pass me another one.
The black and the berry, the sweet and
the... Yeah, buddy. So, this topic is, if you had to create a playlist of Biggie songs, what would your top three songs be? Who's going to start this one off? Rich gets shafted every time, so I won't put it on him. I'll go first. How about that? I'll go first.
Yes. So,
my top three would be number, well, not necessarily in the order, because I don't want to get into that, but 10 Crack Commandments will be in there. What is the name of the song from the beginning of that compilation album? With Puffy, like in the family and all that. And I'm talking about Victory.
Yeah.
Victory, 10 Crack Commandments, and probably Was Beef.
I was just, God, you cheated.
It was like essential Biggie shit right there.
That's the reason I included that in my top three.
Actually, you know what? I'll take Was Beef out and Warning.
Okay.
Warning is probably my favorite Biggie song. So I'll put that in there. 10 Crack, Victory, and Warning.
You're going to hate me for this. I know it. I know. But what's beef? Because I'm a controversial motherfucker. Suicidal Thoughts.
Okay.
And Big Papa. Simply because.
I don't hate it. Like, listen, I respect that song.
You could go to regular motherfuckers that don't even listen to rap and start to, I'm looking when you call me Big Papa.
And they know.
I get you. And by the way, that's 6 drinks, by the way.
Oh, shit.
6 of them.
I'm going to go ahead and down this one.
Ooh, party foul.
There's more in there than I thought. all right, my bad. Jehovah, it's on you.
So I was actually talking with my boss about this at work, because he likes kind of the classic hip-hop, too. And I asked him, and he gave me kind of like the standard like radio songs, like, you know, Big Papa, Juicy, and Hypnotize, and that's 2 more drinks. I said 3 yesterday, but I know that they're going to change, because Biggie's one of my favorite rappers. Like, I don't put him in like my top 5, but he's one of my favorite rappers of like ever. So looking at this playlist that I made yesterday, I would have to say that I Love the Dough with Jay-Z's on there.
Word.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I can't, like, I remember playing it forever ago, and then, like, I just wanted to spin it all day today.
I played it earlier, too.
I, of course, N-Words Bleed. I love that song, just because the storytelling in that song is crucial. Yeah. And then, probably Sky's the Limit.
Dog, Sky's the Limit is fire.
I'm a big fan of, like, ambitious songs. Either Sky's the Limit or Who Shot You?
Yeah. Ooh, as soon as we get off this podcast,
I was going to say, you already had your...
And I think that's like 3 more drinks.
God dang, but you using water. That's cheating.
I know, yeah. I'm not drinking today. I'm not an alcohol.
You got to tell them it's vodka, man. You got to get a whiteboard wasted.
Man, right. I retired vodka in, like, 2010.
Hey, I retired in 07. I was done.
Well, I retired last night because
I had some around.
That shit's still in rotation. Okay. But my top 3 would be considered The What with Redman. What else? Ready to Die, the actual the title of the album.
Title
track. Yeah, title track of the album. And believe it or not, Machine Gun Funk.
My girlfriend said that one. She, like, because I asked her too, and she, that was like unbelievable, and that one was on there.
Your girlfriend said Machine Gun Funk?
Yeah.
You got the ring, right?
She the truth.
Yeah.
You got the ring, right?
She the truth.
Yeah.
You had to lock that one down.
For Valentine's Day, I got her a t-shirt that said Wu-Tang is for the children.
Hey, she ain't going nowhere.
Richard Bailey. with the old school definitive list about to come through. We about
his
to
first single. Everybody. Tell us about his first single.
Well, Jehovah picked some picks that I was already going to pick. Obviously, you know, everybody knows Hypnotized, Juicy, and Big Papa. Sky is the Limit was one of my picks. So, yeah, Joe killed my buzz right there. Hey, I'm also a fan of another song that you guys will probably be like, "Nah, that's terrible." Dead Wrong.
What?
No, I love that song.
Nobody hates that song.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, just have to make sure I say it. You know.
Oh, yeah. I said it to be controversial. Tear one of your bottles.
Yeah, it's a great song.
It's true. That's very true.
And. Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of his compilation stuff. He teaming up with others. But yeah, I mean, that's the gist of the ones. What did you say?
The Biggie Duets.
Which ones?
The Jazzy Fade Biggie compilation album?
Wow.
Oh.
Biggie Duets.
Wow.
You know what fireness came from that, though? Somebody made like a fake Tupac duets one, and it was flames. The whole mixtape. I kid you not. The whole mixtape was dope. If y'all never listened to it, I'm gonna put y'all on to after the show. We're gonna talk about it in the next episode.
You know what song I wanted to put on that list, but like, I it's not really a Biggie song, and he's not really on it. It's Crush on You with Lil' Kim. Oh,
okay. True. You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't not put this one on there because it's probably the most I've listened to Biggie ever in my life.
Uh-oh.
Notorious Thugs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I have played that shit so much. And it, I mean, it helps that his verse is the only verse that I can say on my own.
You start busy. Like, 7 a.m. with Biggie.
I want to do that in karaoke one day. Just waste it. Do a whole song.
Out of line. Speaking of out of line, with the segue.
Uh-oh.
Pharrell and Robin Thicke lost $7.3 million.
On Robin Thicke's birthday.
Today is his birthday?
Today is his birthday.
Oh my.
All right, I have a question. Before I address this topic, let me ask you a question. What is this case, and why did they lose that much?
Basically, the song came out, and I don't know if the family figured it out first or it was a result of social media, but everybody realized that the song sounded a whole lot like Marvin Gaye's, which one, Got to Give It Up.
Yes.
Yeah, like the melody and the cadence and everything sounded just like the song. When somebody told me about it, I couldn't like not hear that at that point. So they got sued. Now, the family sought $23 million for it. But I'm going to say that 7.3 is not that bad.
Here's the kicker about that song too. It made $10 million. So if they lose 7.3, that means that three artists have to share 2.7 between three record labels.
Oh, what a tragedy!
You said how many artists have to share?
Three artists, because it's Robin Thicke, Pharrell, and T.I.
Yeah, T.I. ain't gonna be involved in it. I didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're so right.
I recorded it, and I was gone. Y'all just gave me the beat.
And then I had this actually hit T.I. on it.
I didn't even put that bag over there.
I didn't hear T.I. on that track.
T.I. ain't finna chip in for nothing.
Ain't gonna happen.
No
milk.
He gone the other way.
You know what T.I.'s gonna do? He's gonna come in with all those big words and shit and confuse everybody.
Whoa, hold on.
Elementary, my good sir, that.
Well.
You can't knock the syllables, sir. You can't knock the syllables.
He gathered all of them.
All of them. Like, hey, you know, we'll use these out here in Georgia. Go ahead and take these syllables.
Luis, what do you think about this $7.3 million that they lost?
Compared to 20? Like I said, they asked for 20 at first?
Yeah.
If they asked for 23 and you only got 7, I mean, that's... I take it as a win, count my blessings, and be done with it.
I got something to say about that.
What was that?
This loss is nothing compared to the loss he took when he lost Paula Patton. So,
ooh,
the kid!
Hold on. Can I jump in there right quick?
Paula
Patton. Let me add, because I sincerely and wholeheartedly agree. But you know what makes it stings even more? He didn't even get the fuck, Miley. He did it because he looked stupid up there with her shaking her ass on him. I was pissed off. Fucking rookie. You don't miss for show pussy for possible mo pussy. Because then you end up with no pussy.
You right.
I think if you're watching the show, that was a life lesson.
Hey, real talk. I keep 100 at all times. I apologize, sir.
I think that's all worth it.
I think that's fair. Anybody got any? I mean, Pharrell could probably cover this on his own.
Oh, he could cover it by himself.
He was like, look, charge it to the game. Y'all messed up.
We tried to get the jig was up, guys.
The jig. Look, he'll take his Smokey the Bear hat off.
That's what it's $7 million right there. Any last words on the jig ascending on
the jig ascending? Wow, that's
I do got something to say because Robin Thicke has went from pinnacle star to like trash boat in like a year and a half, and Jameson has come for his lane.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so anything that Miley touches, she infects with her. So.
Right. Thanks for something.
Even if it is on their fame, it
just trash everybody. But moving on to the next topic, a significantly smaller bit of money can be exchanged if you want to give Raekwon $200 to review your project. It comes from basically kind of a Kickstarter for his documentary for Only Built for Cuba Links. He wants to do a documentary about the album and its creation, right? So that's one of the tiered donations you can make, is to pay $200 and he's going to review it. So what does everybody think about that? We'll start off with you, Rich.
Okay.
I mean, you probably won't be in that documentary, right?
Well, I just have a question. When is the last time that Raekwon has had a hit?
Built for Cuban Links 2 was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
it wasn't received commercially, but it was critically acclaimed.
2 years.
Well, go ahead.
Does that consolidate his relevance?
No, we are not getting into that conversation.
No, I'm just saying. I don't.
We will get into that conversation.
I don't think it that no. He's only good if he's had a hit.
Man. We're gonna get to that conversation later. Cause I know that's what you want to do. We're gonna do that on the episode. Okay. All right. I think his last hit, I think that album was 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 years ago. And it was good.
Wait, what? Cuban
Yes. Yeah, Cuban
That's a bargain price, the two.
That was like $2,000.
You see what?
The guy is cheap.
Yeah, $200. That ain't nothing.
Joe, what were you saying about the Cuban Links 2?
That was, shit, that was from like 09, I think.
It was that far
was
back?
Was it that long? Damn,
I was in college.
Dang!
Okay. That's true, because I was in college too. But, damn, 09? Fuck.
The last song I can remember Wu-Tang being relevant on was that cut with Method Man, Raekwon, and Ghostface, like on that little quick album that they did that had like the comic book covers and shit. That's like the most.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
No, I wasn't out loud. It was way after that comment. Yeah. <I'm down. laughs> Yeah, like, forgot about that. That album wasn't that bad either, actually. It was pretty stuff. Well, pretty good stuff. But, you've done music. You've made music before.
I'm here.
All right, so say you're trying to come up.
And this isn't even a question for me.
So it's like, oh, man.
Goddamn right. $7,000.
Two
$200, listen, if somebody that's really involved in it, someone that has an actual perspective, someone that's made hits, been involved in 2 years ago, put something out that people still consider to be relevant today, fuck it right here. Take this, tell me where I'm fucking up, and I will rewrite it all if I need to. Give me more beats, because beats, yeah, the good ones, okay, you're looking at, like, what, $1,500 for a decent fucking beat to be on the radio? But you can get the regular underground beats with people that are just trying to come up, $200, right? $200 to get a new beat for the four songs you'll probably not like on the album. I got you. Yeah. Toss it right
$200 out. Is a steal.
$200 is a steal. I mean, for someone that made a couple classics, I mean, Built for Cuba Links, classic album. Anyone argue with that?
Nope.
I don't like
that's right. But for $200, you can basically use it as like a demo. I mean, if you're that good and he likes you, is he not going to sign you?
Listen, you gotta live in the real world. You're not gonna get signed.
No.
Do not expect to get signed if you like.
Hey, that's fine. You're asking, is
my shit messing up?
So, with that said, would you like
the Raekwon? I don't even think that I would even want to get signed by Raekwon, because look at all the Wu-Tang shit that's going on. You can't listen to that album. You can't buy that album for 88 years and like the whole fucking mess that they're doing. Nah.
Do you want to get signed by a person that's doing a Kickstarter for a documentary for their classic album?
I'll take it back. But anyway, for someone that's done classic material, I mean, why would you not want him to review your stuff for a
No, I'm not saying that. I said the sign thing, because y'all said
Get
signed. I was like, do you want to get signed by a person that's doing a Kickstarter for their classic album?
That's a yes and no, honestly.
I mean, the guy's got money.
It's gonna be a yes and no, simply because, listen, if you're talking about such and such many zeros behind a signing bonus and this and shit, and all I gotta do is go stay in the lab for about a year and come out with an initial, a freshman album, I can do that shit.
So,
I got you.
So what if you sign a contract, and on the contract you say your first paycheck is gonna be based on Kickstarter
support? Now hold on, see, now you're being ridiculous. See, if we're living in the real world, that wouldn't be an actual stipulation. But if a motherfucker came up to me and said, hey, I reviewed it. You got three songs I want to change, but we'll release this. So it's a mixtape, right? Put my mixtape out. I'd be like, okay, put my mixtape out. And then you say, hey, I'm going to give you a year. And in a year, you're going to be completing with this project. And then we'll make sure that we get this shit done. Look, give me that year. I can make it happen.
I don't know if I would even want Raekwon to review my stuff, because like everybody's different, and the way that Raekwon is, like, he's a totally different rapper than like say the artist that I work with. Like, they're two totally different artists. Like, I don't know if I would like pay the $200 to have him review it when he's just, you know, what he could say about my artist is probably going to be different than what he could say about somebody who, you know, is more like him, I guess.
Okay, then I didn't look at the details of it. Did it say where his review would be? Like, is it he just gonna call you, hey, yo,
that shit was hot,
mixtape was dope, or
yeah, listen, that's how I treat, this is gonna sound bad, that's how I treat the girls that I'm talking to. I just want a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Hey, we talking or we ain't? That's all I need. $200 from someone that's actually been in the game and knows how music is supposed to sound, give me either the thumbs up or the thumbs down. That's all I ask. Tell me where I fucked up, and I'll go and redo it if it needs to be redone. However, if it's a song that's like, hey, man, it took me like 3 weeks to write this damn song because I was really feeling it, I'm not going to cut it out.
I'm about to throw a curveball in this one.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. This is coming from the gentleman that just said hip-hop of today has no creativity. So say that you make hip-hop with today's style of hip-hop.
Oh, shit.
And you hand it off to him. Then do you value that review the same way?
So if you're a flow rider, would you let
him review your flow rider?
That's gonna keep trying to cut the fork ball.
If my name was flow rider, I'd say no, I would not pay the $200. However, if you're like, let's say a New York style kind of artist, you know, rapper, hip hop, would you let him review it? Of course. I mean, that makes perfect
York,
sense. I mean,
New York, yeah.
Because that's his style, and as long as you bring the creativity, hey, that's...
So what if you got the Migos flow?
Fuck that. I'm pulling out. I'm gonna take those $200
Joe,
and
Joe. So you start putting your little mixtape out with the Migos flow. You gonna ask Raekwon to review it?
No.
You probably gonna make a little money in his Kickstarter anyway at that point.
That's the reality of things.
Richard Bailey, how about yourself?
Repeat the question.
Well, we'll start with the initial thing.
Yeah.
Would you allow Raekwon, would you pay him $200 to review your project before putting it out?
Yeah, I mean, $200 ain't nothing. Maybe I would go ahead and let him do that because, if he's an industry experience, yeah, he'd probably have a little bit of insight on the matter. So what's the second part of that question, though?
Would you sign to his label if he offered it to you?
And hell no, I would not. No. Let him review it. I'll give him credit. I'll say, yes, he reviewed my album, but no, I'm going to do this my own. I'm going to take everything else from here. You know, just get the feedback and be on my way.
I don't know, man. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Motherfuckers ain't just, hey, jumping off of the bus and getting signed nowadays. So,
yeah, people that are getting screwed, too.
That's very true. Very, very true.
Me personally, y'all may not agree with me. I don't even think it's worth it to be signed anymore.
Very good point.
It's not at all. When it comes to the independent artist, one can get it right on the internet.
You just need the network at this point.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Dat Piff is real.
Dat Piff ain't even the joint. Dat Piff has turned into that group of dudes in that's handing out the mixtapes outside the club. Like Audio Mac and Hot New Hip Hop to get the mixtape you want to get. Like, not for everybody.
What's beyond that? It's about making a profit off of it. If you out there.
What profit you making on Dat Piff?
Wouldn't you be putting your name out there?
Would you maybe get a point out there? We are saying shit. All right, cool. You compare them to the guys that are out there handing out their mixtapes, right? Let me be completely honest. That first one you put out there, those were supposed to be like 2 minute singles on every fucking track and like 12 tracks on the whole damn song, and you're supposed to just give that to people so they can hear your flow. And then after they say, hey, this is pretty alright, I can get behind this shit, you put consideration into the next one and then you start charging people $5 a piece. And this is
just what they need to know. Joe, how many mixtapes did we get full projects out at South by Southwest?
We filled one of those bags you can with the drawstrings that you can put on your back. We filled one of those.
And then one dude tried to charge us $5. Everybody at South by Southwest out there giving out free mixtapes and EPs and cars. And this one dude handed to us and said, that'll be fine.
Hold on.
We get it back.
Hey, speaking of that, hold on. Fake Shore Drive tweeted this earlier. 6th Street during South by Southwest is kind of like the yellow brick road, but instead of yellow bricks, it's paved with mixtapes and broken dreams.
Yeah,
damn.
Yes, it is. You can't step on somebody's mixtapes.
No, we were stepping all over people's dreams last year. Just fucking mobbing down the street, crushing them and shit.
See, I'm sad Joe's not going to be there with me this time.
I know. Hey, Doc's going to be there. Y'all can do it.
Yeah, we'll two-step for you. One time for the 9-9.
Yeah, I'd be more introspective.
I just feel as though if opportunity knocks at the door, I like answering doors, so, you know, I'm there.
Okay, cool. Any last words on Raekwon and the $200 review? Nope. All right, moving on. With Empire welcoming the return of Brooklyn's Charles Hamilton, I don't know if everybody's familiar with him, but he was an artist. He had probably one of the most consistent releases of projects. Like, he kept putting out mixtape after mixtape. And it wasn't like complete garbage. He was actually putting out quality mixtape.
So you wanted Lil Wayne status.
No, he wasn't Lil Wayne status. He was putting out dope music. Like, production wise, you know, lyric wise, it was good. And then he kind of went into
the punch.
Yeah. Went to the sauce. Like, he lost
it. He said went into the sauce?
he lost it, man. Like, he actually had to check himself into a couple institutes and stuff.
He said something, right? Didn't he say something?
About what?
I'm trying to remember. It's been so long since he's been relevant to me.
He fell off. He was suicidal for a while. He had to go out.
Other artists like Mickey Fax, I think maybe even Lupe Fiasco were talking
Damn,
about.
Damn, you said Mickey Fax.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, helping him out and kind of looking out for him. And he's retired from hip-hop like three fucking times at this point. But now he's back. Empire got him to do a song with Rita Ora, and it's dope. I didn't get a chance to let y'all hear it before the show, but we'll probably hear it on the episode. With that being said, through an outlet like Empire, which if you've watched it, you should have known that this was going to end up being like a D-list, C-lister artist breeding ground at this point, because they need songwriters to put these songs out there.
One of those guys who's like one of the rappers on the show, I guess, they were playing him on the radio. Like his actual like song.
I know. I'm so upset about that. I am so upset. I shit you not, that night, dog, we were at the fucking club. Tell me why we're out there, you know, trying to talk to these girls, then drip, drop, drip, drippity, drop. I was like, are you shitting me?
Man, it was hilarious. He texted me because we watched the episode the night before.
Yeah, when I was on the dance floor, I texted him because I was that irate.
But he stayed on the dance floor.
Oh my God, I turned it up.
Yeah.
No, when you're in the middle of making moves, you don't get off the floor. You just go with the beat. You gotta make sure. Stay consistent.
But, with that being said, are there any D-list or C-list or artists that have kind of fallen off?
Lil Zane.
You know what's sad? I can 100% see him coming back on the show.
Yeah.
Lil Zane, Romeo, Bow Wow.
Ooh, Bow Wow. Can you not see Bow Wow being on one of those episodes? Yep. Honestly.
He probably was.
Bow Wow
busy.
He got
the
CSI show right now.
Yeah.
He is.
Is what?
It's only a matter of time.
He's doing some random ass shit on CSI.
CSI internet or some shit.
I'm so glad I did not watch that show. So Romeo Lewis. What are there artists that you would like to see?
Oh, like to see.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we can get into ones that you think you will.
Okay.
I was saying, we can say like LL Cool J will show up eventually.
But LL's bigger than that.
He really is.
He's bigger than that shit. Like, his career is on a whole different. He's on Ice T's level. Don't have to fuck about
it. I don't know. Not now. Like, who wants to listen to an LL Cool J song now?
Women that have vaginas, sir.
The last time, 50. Was not catered.
I'm sorry. Them. If you're looking, was that the one where he was like, "I want to do"?
No, I said it wasn't catered to them. It was like trying to be a hard rapper, and he collaborated with some battle rappers. And the song actually wasn't terrible, but that's not LL's lane anymore.
It isn't, because "I'm Gonna Knock You Out" was in the 80s, sir. Yeah, your time is coming on.
You gotta let that go. No one thinks you're hard anymore.
No, but you know, he'd be out there like, "Hey man, yeah, a jab."
But all right, so LL you threw out there. I think he's bigger than that. Who else do y'all think would kind of
Young LA? I would love to see Young LA on that show.
Yeah. I can see that one.
Young LA.
Yo, I'm so sad that Young LA got exiled from Atlanta hip hop. Like, I used to listen to those mixtapes like all summer, like 2007.
Never my cup of tea, man.
This is gonna be the truth, and they gonna pull him out of like from under the fucking ground. But Trick Daddy.
What?
Cause you know Trick love the kids.
Trick love the kids. I would tune in that week to watch Trick Daddy on the episode.
And for the rate, that bitch will skyrocket.
I don't care if he ain't after 2 seconds. Like Raven Simone.
Like Raven Simone. Tell me, dog, that was so fucking upset.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all watched the show, but Raven Simone was literally in the show for 2 minutes to be a deadbeat mom and drop a kid off and dip
and
out.
She was gone.
Has not
she was
back.
Gone.
Period. That was her role.
Wow. Book.
Yeah. Yeah, we clearly have been watching the show, and it's horrible. It's awesomely bad.
What about Murphy Lee? Could they resurrect Murphy Lee? Could they resurrect his career with
Murphy
the show?
Lee can come back.
The whole crew can be resurrected.
Well,
the same.
Yeah, he was whoa, actually. Whoa. Like, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Nelly got to come back too.
No. See, and that's why I didn't say Nelly. Because Nelly actually, he had a successful career. He did crossover, like, hybrid music. He's not touching this shit. Murphy Lee, he was, like, right here, and he was, like blue ball. Like, never gonna touch it.
Cool. Next group, D12.
No, that's not gonna happen.
I think we're missing the grand prize, though. Memphis Bleek.
I knew it was gonna get there. Fucking Freeway.
Dog, Freeway and Seagull. Yeah. Like, shit, just the whole rock crew that isn't Jay and Kay.
Freeway is not on that list.
No, so why not?
Because he has actually put out quality music and survives off of his own performances. Because you're unaware does not make it a bad.
You're right, which is why I didn't get tested. I had to
see. He does so for Rhymesayers now, so he's like,
okay, I'm cool with that. But I'm just thinking, if we were talking about him being as kind of like a solo artist again, Freeway would get up there and he like, oh yeah, I can write whatever that dude with the big ass nostrils is. Like, he's cool and everything, but you can
on Beans?
No, on the show.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to say it.
That's what I thought you were talking about. I was like, is it Beanie? Sorry. Anyway, that way.
But no, like, legitimately, that's another topic, but you really need to listen to Freeway's last album.
Yeah,
it is flames, bro. I'm so glad he got out there and did his thing because he was always good.
I agree.
All the rock was
like Freeway. He went against Cassidy and lost, don't get me wrong, but
he got destroyed.
Put a beat on. Listen, as a matter of fact, fuck it. Nah, he would never touch that hoe, but Cassidy was real, dog.
Cassidy would be the one to float over in there.
He just became relevant again because of Rap Battle.
No, so that's like, Cassidy fucking kills anything touching microphones, though. Like,
in a bad way?
No. Cassidy's fucking real. Like, he's raw.
So why would you not want to blow him?
Because, no. The thing is, okay, all right. So this is why I would distinguish him from someone that would accept, like, hey, come and do a song with this guy that doesn't even really fucking rap in real life. He raps in real life, but he's shit, right? Cassidy, he's real.
But he's about the money grab.
Okay, but do you really think someone would sell their souls for fucking
money?
We're
talking about
that?
Cassidy. Do you remember Cassidy's hits?
Oh, Cassidy's biggest hit was Hotel.
I know, that was a great one. Jail. I'm just playing. I'm like, you need to get out of this. I'm just saying, dog. I feel as though
his mentality. Hotel.
Dog. Okay, so I just honestly, I sincerely feel as though he wouldn't touch that motherfucker.
Somebody probably said he ain't gonna touch that Hotel single either.
That's true, because he did it though. He fucking
and
did
it was
it.
A hit.
Yes, it's because if not, when he gets on that hoe, he's like that.
No, he didn't make it a hit though.
Huh?
He didn't make it a hit.
Whoa, it's because, okay, he had the soothing R&B style. R. Kelly, but, I mean, let's just be honest. If he were to go against anyone as far as a freestyle battle, like, he was, and this is sad, but this is like, I know it's a cliche kind of thing to say, but he was the first person I had heard that would say that if you were on fire, I would spit, vomit, or piss on you. I was like,
ridiculous. Okay, I understand. Yes, I have respect for him. You haven't even seen his rap battle that he did recently.
Yo.
How recent?
Like, months. Shut the fuck up.
What's up, Joe?
P.D. Pablo.
P.D.
Oh, my t-shirt.
Hey, no. That's why I fuck boy bad.
Dog. P.D. Pablo would... I mean, P.D. Pablo was in Drumline, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was only in Drumline too.
So he would be that guy.
He would be that guy. Yeah. Honestly, and I was thinking, I was like, Nick Cannon would do it, but he fucking Mariah, so he's set in life.
Was.
The Nick Cannon about that money grab too?
Hold on, was. They not together anymore?
No, they're getting divorced.
I'm sorry, I've been under a rock. Fuck y'all. My man.
You say P. Pablo wouldn't Mystical qualify as that?
Nope, no, no, he's no. Still Mystical, wild. Mystical fought a bear, dog. Help him out!
No! He's following Pharrell, basically.
Dog, Mystical.
Look, the thing, I was so happy when Mystical, when he got out of jail and when he did a song and it was actually still dope.
I know! But he got signed with Young Money, he's not doing anything progressive anymore, dog. Incorrect. That album that Uptown Funk is on, Mystical is on the album. So he got guap for that.
You were unaware because it wasn't a hip hop project.
I hate you so much.
Why are you Mystical getting that money?
You know who else could probably use the money from Empire and that would probably still be low?
Who?
Master P.
No. Him and Romeo.
No.
Listen.
They can play themselves.
And I'm glad you was just saying that because that's one of the reasons I didn't list him after you had said something about Romeo because he just did some shit with Lil Wayne. Like, he's still legitimately, he has projects that he's doing to progress his whole, like, the whole project that's going down in New Orleans and shit like that. No, he's well off. I shit you not. Him and his son, because Lil Wayne.
No, we know they have the business.
I know, but he just said he would need the money. He won't need that shit. No, honestly, like that's one of the reasons I didn't list Master P because Master P has other venues of income, and it fucks me up because I was thinking like Master P ain't done shit in a while, but he's good. I heard him. I shit you not. 2 days ago, heard him on a song with Lil Wayne. It blew my fucking mind.
Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy needs that
money. Nah, Soulja Boy.
You know what
Soulja got that online presence.
Rich Boy.
Rich Boy. Rich Boy.
Rich Boy.
Rich Boy.
Rich Boy. Rich Boy.
That was such a wasted chance, man.
Well, I mean, he had two really good songs. That was it.
The album actually wasn't bad.
No, yeah.
That album was dope.
There's more than that album.
Okay, he messed up and started working on Detox. And whatever version of Detox he did, in the garbage can. It's gone. All that time wasted. It's never gonna come out.
I like Rich Boy too. I ain't gonna lie.
Really?
He gotta take that fire and run with it.
Throw some cheese on that hook. I'm sorry. I heard the Big Bang version. It was fucking shit.
Any other artists anybody wanna throw out there? Yeah. Funny?
He don't need the money, but he'd be on there. You know what I'm saying?
He's 1.7 billion?
That's what I'm saying. He'll need the money, but I would like to see him on there because, you know, I'm a Communitaire fan. Like,
so it would be kind of cool if he came on there and not even portray an artist. Or portray an artist that is actually doing what he's doing and not even making music anymore. Come on there and, like, talk about, like, the business part. Because, you know, it's all about the kids trying to take over the company.
So it'd be is it, though? Because one of them just went to the hospital. I'm going to be honest with you.
You know what I mean. And he could have come in as like a business partner or something to pick up Empire after it falls
apart. Oh, good point. Yeah. He'd be like, hey, kids, you know, your daddy, he done died already, but I'm going to get here. I got the money and the knowledge, so I take you to the next level.
Take it to the top.
So, the Millionaire, is that the last artist with that?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe like somebody like Yayo.
Or Young Buck.
Oh. You know what?
Question.
Unit collectively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point, yeah.
I think that would be the definitive answer.
Are we talking about G-Unit original or G-Unit
now?
No, we'll take all of them. Tony Yayo had nothing.
So the original G-Unit didn't need that show. G-Unit now needs that show.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, are we including, like, Kid and Spider-Loke and those other, like, kinds
of... Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Little John.
Dude, Lil Jon had a smash last year with Turn Down for What?
No, I'm just saying, couldn't you see him on there though?
Yeah, I could. I actually, even with Turn Down for What, I could see him on there, just like briefly on the
show.
Yeah,
on there.
Like, I'd probably see him on there, like they throw a party or something, he's the DJ.
That's actually, and give him like a camera glance. It don't even just scroll back.
Just go by.
Just scroll back. Was that Little John in that episode? You rewind.
Two more names. I got two more names for you guys. I got my Young Jock and Gorilla Zoe.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well,
as soon as someone said something about Gorilla Zoe liking his asshole licked out, who the fuck said that? What's her name?
What is going on?
He dropped out. I'm trying to think. Oh, Cat Stacks. Cat Stacks said that a couple of years ago.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, Cat Stacks.
As soon as that shit came out,
that was a dark moment.
But one more person that needs to be introduced to the younger crowd because he hasn't done shit since saying Detox was going to come out. Although he might not do it, but I mean, a lot of these young cats don't know who Dr. Dre is.
But Dr. Dre just robbed somebody from Benny's.
Yeah, he's definitely not showing his face.
So realistically,
he's going back to the underground and get swole up.
He ain't doing nothing but eating weights.
What about Andre 3000?
No.
He wouldn't even walk him.
He's not touching.
Next topic, Dan.
I know.
Like, if anyway,
I did that money just to make everybody mad.
Let's might as well do that at that point.
Don't do that.
You're big boy?
Don't knock down big boy like that. Yeah, because big boy ain't shit. He ain't shit at all.
Oh man.
No, it's in like bad.
Oh, okay.
No, it's in. I would say it's in quote unquote shit. Shit. No.
So moving on to the next topic. Freddie, I almost called him Gibbs again. Freddie Gibbs dropped a surprise EP called, what was it called, Joe?
Pronto,
yes. Dropped it out of thin air. I listened to it. It was only a 3-track EP. I mean, that was cool. But how do we feel about this marketing strategy? It is becoming a regular thing more often than it is not, especially with bigger artists, to just drop projects thin air. Drake, thin air. Kendrick, not necessarily thin air, but it is only 2 weeks until his album comes out, and we just got the release.
Kind of like J. Cole's.
Yeah, J. Cole gave us the release date a month before his. You know, is this a marketing strategy that we can look at it from, you know, our perspective as consumers, and then look at it as the artist's perspective. But Joe, you go first.
I kind of like it. I think it's refreshing. It's one of those things where, like, we don't have to, like, look forward to a whole album rollout. Like, okay, this is the first single, and then when's the second single drop, and then when's the video drop, and, you know, that's just kind of old and dated, and I think it's something cool for the record industry to kind of, like, to change. You know, they're trying to, like, evolve with social media and with, you know, leaks and stuff. And I think this is their way of fighting album leaks so they can still recoup the sales. Because Drake dropped out of thin air, like you said. He did 500,000 in 4 days. 4 fucking days that he did 500,000.
Of a shit project too.
that
just shows that more people shop at Walmart than they do shop at other.
But you know what? Props to him for getting out of his record deal, especially with everything going on.
I mean, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. How about you, Richard Bailey?
I think it depends on the artist. If they are confident that they hot and they just want to drop something, it's totally fine. I will say this though: if an artist has a horrible album and then they decide that they want to drop another one without announcing anything, I don't know if that would be a wise decision.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that may force them to start putting more work into their projects now, because you can't drop a bad project out of nowhere.
And that's why Big Sean's is pretty decent, because he, I mean, we had the I Don't Fuck With You single, but like after that, he didn't really drop anything, and then the album release date was announced, and then that was it, and then the album came out.
Yeah, and you said Yeezy didn't drop out of thin air.
No,
you just said drop a shit project and expect it to sell.
Yeah, out of thin air. Yeah, you can't.
But he's his song. And they ate that shit up.
Oh,
shit
was project. Kanye and Drake. Shit project. Kanye and Drake. Those are
his
rules. I give it to you.
You know, they're at that point.
That's why I said I give it to you. I'm not
to clarify for the people listening to the podcast. Oh, cool. I'm cool if you understand.
Okay.
But Yeezus and Drake are at a point where they can sell whatever they want and it's gonna sell.
Technically, Jay-Z's at that point too.
Jay-Z's gonna make you buy it before
him. Listen, this is, oh my god, we don't even have time to get into that. You're so right though. That is one of my biggest bones to pick with him. I shit you not, I do not care for that. I was at the point when I was like really into rap, right? When I was like on the cusp of everything that was going on. Jay-Z was like, hey, I'm gonna retire. This is my last album. I'm dropping this Black album.
The Black album.
And he was done, right? Dropped it. They said, oh, okay, no more music for me, right? The motherfucker comes out with an album, what? The next year? The year after?
You know, what was that? Was
right?
Three years later?
2006.
Whatever. Kingdom Come did come out in 2006. But he made sure that in an interview, he told everyone, I did that to make sure that I get, you know, album sales. What kind of shit is that? So you prey upon the people that are your fan base to ensure purchases for your album, which is why I need to just stop, because that's a tangent.
That makes me think of another thing with Jay-Z, though. And we've kind of touched on it before, Joe. Jay-Z has done everything he possibly could to make sure that he remains relevant. in whatever way that he can manage it.
Got a younger wife.
Told him that it was the last album.
Still in young Chris's
head. The Budweiser or whatever deal he had when Kingdom Come was coming out and had commercial going out for that. Blueprint 3, the thing that saved him on that was the song with Kanye and Rihanna.
For real?
Yes.
The Pharrell song didn't do it.
No, the Pharrell song,
it's production.
No, but I'm saying that song is what built up the hype before.
Timbaland was on
the production was too. Decent on 3.
Yeah.
And then you get an album that you didn't even get to pay for, and it already sells. It goes platinum the day that it drops. So, like, just think about that. Because he made a Samsung deal where it was every Samsung owner got the album, and that actually counted towards his album sales. So he went platinum day one.
Is that what
Wow.
No. That was Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I
remember. Yeah. And then Watch the Throne, why was that?
Kind of in that production.
Like, what was he called on Redefined? Was he one of the vampires?
I think so.
Yeah, he's a vampire. He sucks off everyone else's energy in order to survive. Business-wise, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
It was, even without the extra deal with Samsung, he was off the Justin Timberlake hype at that point for the first song, which, honestly, that song was trash.
But they ate that shit up.
I don't understand why everyone loved that damn song.
It made no sense. It's because JT was back after 7 years. That's it. That was the only reason.
That's what it was.
Jay-Z.
Because
moves,
sipping
man.
From the cup till it running over. The fuck.
It made no sense. Jay-Z is a smart businessman. He knows how to manage it. That is it. Because it would any album after Kingdom Come have sold that much with just regular marketing?
No.
Just on Jay-Z's status alone.
Well,
to be honest, Black Album.
Well, I mean, I forget about American Gangster.
Yeah, Black Album. You can't forget about that.
Yeah. After that, it was all merit. Black Album for me was the cutoff line. Everyone was doing it.
Kingdom Come wasn't that bad. I mean,
Oh, God, no. That was awful.
Yeah. Really? Hey, he dissed Dipset on that one, I'll tell you that.
Oh, never mind. We're not turning that into
this.
No. Fuck no.
Maybe one song.
No.
Don't forget, Hip Hop is Dead came out the same time as Kingdom Come.
Hey, Hip Hop
is Dead. Exactly.
Black Republicans, hey,
of the real.
No, we are not turning this into Jay versus Nas, damn it.
I know, that's what he was doing. I was like,
I see what you're trying to do. This ain't
not that in here.
But hey, that's the reality of it. Jay-Z is gonna remain relevant. I guess what can he like wait to do now?
Vegas death.
Jay-Z's next move is Faith is Death and the album just come out of nowhere.
Yep. Listen, I made these motherfuckers 10 years before I died, so this is my life.
Yep. And then resurrect 7 years later?
Yeah. To be like, hey, I was just bullshitting.
Here's an album.
I was in the Bahamas. Look, he'll walk.
I was in the Bahamas, made an album. Like,
he ain't walking on water, he walking on albums. Like Jesus.
Wow. Alright, Luis, how do you feel about the sudden drops out of thin air?
When it comes to sudden drops out of thin air, I mean, I kind of like it because my biggest pet peeve is album leaks, and honestly, that's one of the biggest things I think that kind of ruins hip-hop at that point, ruins numbers, which if you want to support some of these artists, please go buy their album. But ultimately, like I said, you kind of hit with fresh music right away, so... That's kind of the one thing that's kind of not valued as much as going out there buying the album, and just instead of as opposed to just picking certain singles. So I personally like it because once again it stops the leaks. That's my biggest thing because if you like an artist, if you support an artist, you should go buy the album as opposed to just buying one song or two songs on iTunes. That's my biggest pet peeve.
Okay. Do y'all think that this trend is going to be maintained going forward?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely. And the indie artists are in the, you know, the up and coming artists, they're gonna try to do it too. And yeah. they're gonna see it severely backfire because they don't have a fan base. You can only do this if you have a fan base.
Wale did it and that wasn't particularly successful.
Didn't Jay-Z do that? Oh, yeah, of course, Wale, yeah.
No, and you know, the single on there with him and Chance, if he would have led with that, it probably would be more relevant because it was a great song. But you can't be Wale as we know him now and just drop something out of thin air and expect people to go and get it.
Might as well call yourself Young Turk. Might as well call yourself Turk at that point.
No, man. Wale is like, I think it's artists that have a very people person appeal are the only ones that can really, really.
They gotta have a strong fan base. And like J. Cole. The reason J. Cole could do that is because his fan base is that loyal. I mean, you know, he shuts down the internet when he drops a song. Like, his website always, you know, dies. And, you know, all that.
He just, like, upgrade that bandwidth, man.
Right? His servers are whack.
He knew what he was doing. Hey, smart marketing, man.
Yeah.
Like the Nintendo Wii. You got to create that demand.
Man. Yeah, hey. That shit prints money, bro. That shit prints money.
Yep, that's what he did. What's up, Rich?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Continue.
No. I was going to go on closing topic out because this is the last topic.
No, continue. Because I forgot what I was going to say now.
The rich thoughts dropping out of thin air, just leaving.
Yeah, that's it.
No word. Well, I think it's a good thing for hip hop. I like it for, you know, a lot of the reasons y'all said. Where
it's really increasing the album sales. It really is.
Yeah, and we need that for hip hop. If we want hip hop to be relevant, when it comes to like award shows and stuff, they need to start doing the numbers that like the co-album did, and probably what Kendrick album's gonna do, and even like what Big Sean's album did should be like the minimum. 147,000 to start off, like that should be the minimum when it comes to hip hop releases at this point. And I actually, just like Joe started off with, I like canceling out a lot of the bullshit. Like one of the best parts of J. Cole's album is he can't make a fucking single to save his life. And dropping it out of thin air eliminated that.
Yep.
Like, it became organic. Like, apparently, organically became a single because of how it was. And that way, you don't have to worry about artists like Lupe Fiasco in their prime and the Kendrick in their prime that have to cater to, like, a single structure and stuff.
The upside of that, too, is that Drake's whole album charted.
That's true. Yeah, it did.
So, like, you don't just have to chart one song anymore. You can chart your entire album doing this.
But you do understand that to make record companies money, they have to be able to release singles for artists.
Record companies aren't the priority anymore.
I know, but if they want the distribution, they are the priority. That's how the money works.
I wouldn't say that. J. Cole was like the complete opposite of that, just happening. And that was his last deal with the record company. Like the distribution. It was Columbia Records, right, Joe?
Yeah, Columbia.
That was his last album.
Same with Drake. You can say the same thing with Drake.
They got him.
He don't need distribution anymore.
It's less so about the major overarching things and kind of smaller groups, like OVO Sound, TDE, and stuff like that. Rock Nation still.
Rock Nation, I'm going to say. Rock Nation.
But they're actually not bad about putting their stuff together. Yeah. Except for Jay Electronica.
Non-existent, but
Jay Electronica can be on Empire.
Yeah.
That's sad, but true. Hey, that's sad, but true.
He's gonna get credit as a deadbeat guy.
Most Def will do it.
He can't get back overseas, though.
Papa.
Yasin Bey.
That is his name. Damn, he did change his name. Wow.
Can't come back now. But yeah, I think it's positive. Any last statements on this marketing stuff? You were going for a second. Did you?
I was. I support what Luis was saying because I really do like it. I feel as though. You're right, I don't like having a tailor to, we're going to drop a single here, drop a single there, give you four singles before the actual album actually comes out, give you a leak too. I don't respect that. We got one, and Dark Sky Paradise is like what I'm going off of right now. You got one single off of that, and that was I Don't Fuck With You, and that was simply because that was a badass motherfucking song. So,
but like, Big Sean, he's not had the problem of making singles. Because of the style of music,
that's one of the least favorite songs I have on that album. And like, so hey man, I respect it. If we can get it like this, to where we don't have all this, hey, you hear that new song? Like, you got these people out there jumping, like, yeah, I listen to Kendrick Lamar too. You hear that song, blah blah blah, that's playing on the radio? Nah, stop it.
But you know what? I'm going to throw this in as a last topic. Since we now have a release date for Kendrick's album, which is March 23rd, for people that didn't know, that leaked out. He put out the iTunes leak for the pre-order for it. The track list isn't there. So technically, this album's still dropping out of thin air. Like, we don't know. None of the songs are going to be on there.
We just know a date. That's it.
Yeah, we know a date, and that Black and America's on there.
What's the interval when you buy a tree? I mean,
Black and America?
Big Kid, Mad City?
2 years?
Big Kid, Mad City.
Big Kid, Mad City was 2012, the end of 2012.
Yeah, okay. So three
years.
Yeah, that's a 3 year interval.
Three, and it doesn't even feel like it because Big
Kid, Mad City was
all the way up until now.
Still is, yeah. It's still is.
The reason I ask is because once upon a time I sat down and I looked at Outkast intervals. I love Outkast, hands down, stop it. Outkast, right? Same. 2 year intervals between albums.
Now, well, that's most artists, really. I mean, realistically, if you look at the average.
But Outkast is different, too, because in 2 years they changed their sound completely each album.
Yeah. No, that's not Mary. Damn it, Joe. Damn it. Damn it, Joe.
Yeah. No one else could do that.
Damn.
They were sick with that.
That should be another show
in itself. Right there. But the question I was getting to, predictions from everyone. Where do you think that Kendrick's album is going to land day one or week one?
We're talking about the standards that have been set. Come on. If you're coming off of this and you're coming off of the things that he's done unconventionally, like going on Colbert to do a song named Untitled. Like, how many motherfuckers have done that besides?
Did y'all know why it was called Untitled? Anybody? No. They didn't put that together until the Colbert show.
Shut up.
Until they were rehearsing for the show is when they put that together.
That's awesome.
Because they were going to perform I. Terrence Martin is the one that said this in an interview. They were going to perform I, but then they decided that they wanted to do something new. And even then, after the rehearsals, during the performances, they forgot some of the arrangements and what we got.
Get the fudge out of here. That amount of creativity to...
But, like, Terrence Martin is great, like, musician. Thundercat, who was on the bass, is crazy, too. And Analyze, I saw Thundercat at South by Southwest in that.
Yeah!
Yeah, and that joint was fire. We saw
Flying Away. He came out to play with Badu, right?
Yeah, he did. It was fire. Like, it was dope. And just, it's crazy to me that they, like, legit musicians.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you have something like that. Yeah. So, of course... That's kind of giving hints to what my predictions probably go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if they set the bar as high as they have of what we're expecting from them as far as creativity and, you know, sales and not even just production, just the quality. Like, I shit you not. No, you can listen to Good Kid, Mad City right now and you'll be like, damn, that whole jamming, right? So I'm going to say he's gonna make Darius Scott Paradise look pretty bad.
Well, I think, and that's not a shot at Big Sean.
It's not a shot at Big Sean. However, it is stating that he has a larger following.
A more dedicated one, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I'll make it a little bit more pointed of a question. Will he, like, there's J. Cole's sales, and then there was Drake's, right? Where would Kendrick fall? Is he going to be in between J. Cole and Drake?
Or
is he
going to really both? Damn, that sucks. No, I don't think
he's going to. Or below both.
But I don't think he's going to make Drake numbers as far as this shit goes. And I say that because Drake does all the singing and snapping and popping that gravitates towards. Yeah.
Really?
It gravitates towards other listeners.
One of the reasons why his last album was so big, it was so different from what was out there. I mean, Drake, his album before this one, I mean, pretty similar.
Let's not classify this as an album. Let's get that straight.
It's a mixtape that everybody bought.
Yeah.
All
right.
But with Kendrick being with the expectations that his last album set. I mean, it's going to be like, everybody's going to eat this shit up regardless. I mean, it's going to be good. We know it's going to be good. Or at least that's the expectation.
Sophomore curves?
I don't know about everybody, though.
Because I got a statement to make.
Go ahead, Rich.
Alienated a bit.
No, go ahead first, because I'm going to drop some knowledge on you.
Rich's knowledge. I respect that.
What I was going to say is, I don't think everybody's going to eat it up because Drake has the white people. Like Drake's music is catered to white.
That's what I was implying. Yeah, I just didn't want to say it because I love you, Joe, like a brother.
Drake's music is like you go on Instagram and you scroll through, and how many times have you seen a white girl with a Drake quote on the picture? Like, it's just, that's just Drake's market. I think Kendrick's gonna do something like maybe 250 or 300 though.
I think that's the sound thing, because like you know he doesn't have the white people like you were saying, and he's not going for them. Like if you look at the songs that have come out, like Black and Berry, that is not a white people.
That's a hip-hop song.
That is like legit, damn right. I love that song though.
That motherfucker said, I'm black as a motherfucker.
Yes, dog. and I'm fine with that. Maybe for some strange reason, it'll hit that point and people will be like, I can listen to Kenny. I can say this in my room. Oh, no. Maybe that's what happened. What'd you got to say, Rich?
All right, listen. I got respect for Drake. You know, I know Joe... I know your answer about Drake makes a lot of sense. But let's also remind all the listeners that you said that Drake is one of the best albums, one of the best artists. Remember we had that little discussion a couple shows ago?
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about the, yeah, you remember the topic exactly, right, Charles?
Which one again?
The regions thing.
Yeah, the region. That was it. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Drake run the six.
Yeah, he run the six.
Oh, my God. Did I really not have that discussion?
Yeah, you missed
that. What the fudge?
But to get back to what I'm saying, Drake has some excellent sales. I'm going to go ahead and think outside the box, and I'm going to give you why. I think Kendrick will surpass that number. Let me tell you why. Now, what AJ said about the Colbert performance, that's a big deal. What he's been doing ever since that performance is he's been making little appearances here and there. You know, he drops that the Black of the Berry track. Yesterday, he actually was on a radio show. Not sure if you heard about this Big Boys radio show where he actually did freestyles over his track.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
I didn't know that.
So
is that what sparked this whole thing? I've seen a bunch of lists about the top freestyles that you need to see. Maybe it sparked from that.
Probably.
Yeah. That's a possibility. Plus, one other thing. You know, everybody knows Big Sean's Control. You remember his verse on that, okay? Remember that verse. Because everybody was talking about that. I feel like all that momentum is leading towards the big expectation for the album. And... this is why I think it's going to do very well.
Now, you know what? I got to say, and some people in here, like, this is to add on to what he's saying, though. And y'all may not agree, but since the Control verse, like, that set a bar for Kendrick. It set a bar for a lot of people that did not, you know, reach that point. Like, Crit did, but Drake didn't. But Kendrick hasn't fallen below that. With every release that he's done since then, it's been above bar. Like, I had the radio appeal, even though it was legit, the Untitled performance and Black and Berry. It's like he stepped it up every single time. But go ahead, Rich.
Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, no. I mean, I was done. I was done.
Okay. Cool. The way I see this album, I think it's going to be so creative. It's going to fall into the whole, and Rich knows this, the whole argument between Illmatic and It Was Written. I really think this is going to be so creative that it's not going to be appreciated until years down the road, realistically. Illmatic's considered a classic, but creativity-wise, It Was Written was just so much better. And I feel that he's on this whole next level shit that it's going to take a while for us to digest this album. As opposed to his first album. So,
when you say creativity, do you just mean diversity sense? Because if you go track for track, and not everybody can distinguish between these things, but I can recognize when it was a classic album that's held in a high regard, and my favorite album might not be the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize that Illmatic is the best album that Nas has done. It was written as my favorite Nas album. I understand why Illmatic had its appeal, but it's not my favorite. But still, if you go track for track with Illmatic, like, that shit's ridiculous.
No, Illmatic is ridiculous, but the way I see it, there's going to be such a high expectation that they're going to try to live it. They're going to try to apply the second album to that expectation and not treat it as its own. They're going to compare it to his first album, and that's going to overshadow the second album. That's the way I see it. Because, I mean, realistically, I mean, that whole album, you can listen from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And that expectation is very high at this point.
Joe, you got any insight on that?
On the Illmatic versus It Was Written thing?
Yeah, or just Good Kid versus his second album.
I don't know. I mean, like, it sounds like he's a lot angry on this one with the Black of the Berry. I don't know if you'll be able to compare them, though, because it sounds like Kendrick's in two totally different creative zones for both of them.
That's wasn't that the same time with Illmatic and It Was Written?
But then again, this is also technically not his second album.
Oh, well, technically, but to the masses.
No, we don't do
to the masses. No, yeah, no, to the masses, it's his second album, because he's got, I mean...
What do you mean we don't do technically?
Yeah, because this would be considered like his sophomore album. Because
Section 80 was...
Yeah, that was...
You can consider that an album.
That is good. Yeah, it was an album.
Yeah, but to the masses, that wasn't an album. That was a mixtape.
No. I say that as far as production. If you're under, like, some... Down. Making something creatively from your own independent, like, hey, this is all out of me, I bought the tracks myself, all of these are my beats, I paid for them hoes and wrote everything that I wanted to on every one of these, right? It's completely different from, hey, we bought you this $1,500 beat, we need you to get this album out, make this a single before the fucking summer's over, right? Like, that's a completely different mindset from an independent project. So, this is going to be a sophomore album.
I'll agree sophomore. That it's a sophomore album, but not for sophomore. The reasons that you just said. Because ooh. Then, like, the exception then would be Crit. Where who doesn't have to get that third party? And J. Cole, actually.
You're absolutely right. Running in lights. Should have been his first album.
My whole theory with mixtapes and album goes into sample clearing was a whole other conversation. But
yeah, you ain't lying.
That's a whole topic by itself.
What'd you say, Joe?
No, I was agreeing, like, it's totally out of hand.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But if that's everybody's last statement, we can get final words from everybody and close out the show. Hey, they will start us off.
Why you always do that? You have an awful proverbial shit to say, man. You make me sound like a dunce. First and foremost, I love being able to sit around the table with you guys, the round table, or the turntable. Yes, I apologize. The turntable, as we have it. And discuss intellectually our opinions of this shit that we call hip hop.
Indeed.
And in saying that, there are people that I have in classifications and categories, and they're like, hey, this rapper's here, these artists are here, and then you have Andre 3000, which is in a tier of his own. Like, no one will fucking touch him, right?
Which is unfair. We'll have a show about that.
You have Kendrick Lamar. You have some of my favorite artists, which includes Chamillionaire. I know people don't judge him the way that I will, but I feel as though the quality coming from... I love Kendrick Lamar. Like, I shit you not, the progressive black shit that he's doing, man, I feel it. I'm behind it. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm shaking my head like... Right? Like, no, I'm gonna support it, man. There are a few albums that I actually go out and purchase. The albums that I purchased last month, I purchased Big Crit.
I was about to say, if you miss Big
Crit, no. That's what I'm saying. I purchased that. I purchased Good Kid, Mad City, and I purchased Dark Sky Paradise because Rich, we were supposed to have a discussion. I don't know if you recall that, but that didn't happen. But that's cool. yeah, these are. I'm going to purchase this album. Hands down, like without question, this is blind, put it if you will, faith in the quality of him as an artist.
Okay, and I want to ask you this, just to be sure. Is that your final word for the entire show? Or just on that topic?
I'm gonna say the whole show.
Okay, all right, cool. I just want to make sure. I ain't want to cheat you out of that, just in case. All right, Jehovah.
If you haven't yet, stream .1996 project. You can get it .co/music. There's also a MediaFire link that I tweet out like almost every day. So if you follow me on Twitter at JehovahsNF, you'll see it at some point. RIP Biggie, man. Like, just listening to that stuff yesterday, like, I was so hyped, like, in the office banging it out when I was creating that playlist banging it out. Like, it's just, it's one of those things, like, Biggie is always going to be one of my favorite artists, and I can't wait to, like, show his music to my nieces and my nephews and stuff.
Keep it alive, for real, Luis.
To kind of jump on that Biggie's topic, I mean, we have to wonder if he was still around, how many more classic albums he would have given us, because, I mean, realistically, his first album, second album, classics, no matter what time we're talking about, whether it be, you know, 10 years ago, this year, I mean, you can still consider those classics. The next thing is, if you guys like an artist, if you guys support an artist, please go out and buy their album. Don't just download singles on iTunes. Just because you want to support the artist that is essentially, you know, putting their art to work for you guys. So, like I said, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. If you know that you like an artist regardless, whether it be J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, sadly, go buy their album, please. Yeah, please buy the album. Even if you like Lil Wayne, go buy his album, regardless of how bad or how good it is. Support the artists that you guys like, please.
I just realized he said Drake sadly, and that's a double entendre.
Don't even have to smile.
Alright, Richard Bailey.
Yeah. I like that last statement he made. Yeah, I do agree, support the albums, but with all due respect, if you pick up an album and there's only one or two good songs on it, well, yeah, you better try and take that back or sell that.
Support your local record store.
Yes, that's an absolute must. An absolute must.
That Drake album.
Yeah. Just like these guys said again, rest in peace to Biggie. I don't listen to that much hip-hop. But that actually is one of the first artists that I've listened to that got me into hip hop before I started going back and listening to other artists. So, yeah, good times. And I look forward to that Kendrick album, without question.
Word. Well, I say thank you everyone for participating again, because I know y'all love being here. We're going to have y'all on every week.
We're going to be here. Schedules. We ain't going anywhere, bro. All right.
Thank y'all for tuning in. Rest in peace, Biggie. It was another great show. We will see y'all next Friday.